If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is Sam Pru from Who Would Win Masters. We've opened new official channels and we want you there. Follow Who Would Win Masters on Instagram and subscribe to youtube.com/@WhoWouldWinMasters. And on YouTube, click the visit community button to leave your 1v1 battle challenges. Leave a comment and you might just hear it read on the show. Be a part of the arena, be a part of the debate. Now let's dive in. Wind whips across misty mountains. Deep within the ancient caverns, something stirs, and in a bolt, takes to the skies, blocking out the sun. Its size massive, its wings a hurricane. Above the clouds, a different thunder answers, the metallic shriek of rotor blades cutting through the heavens. On board, an artillery of death. One moves the air with ancient fury and flame, the other with cold precision and supersonic steel. Fire breath meets fire power, scale meets stealth. This week, it is the tyrant of the lonely mountain, Smaug, versus the supersonic predator, Airwolf. Tonight we take to the skies with a battle of fire versus firepower. Welcome back to another matchup from Who Would Win Masters. I am Sam Proof on all of the socials, and in this episode, we are going to blast off with a clash of mythic arrogance versus engineered precision. It is Smaug versus Airwolf. But before we get to the choppa, let's introduce our guest debater. It is stand-up comedian Kevin Israel, welcome to the show. We're excited to have you here. What is the latest in your world?
I'm excited to be here. Just getting up, making people chuckle. Check out I recently revamped my website, kevinisrael.com. You can go there for all my dates and socials and my album, The Struggle Is Real. You can get that there. So go check me out and then come out to a live show and let's have some fun.
Nice, nice. All right. Now, normally I would ask, why did you pick this character? But I guess I'm asking, why did you pick this air crew?
This character, you mean? I picked Airwolf because it was a seminal show in my childhood. I loved Airwolf. I actually had a recurring dream as a kid that I was flying Airwolf. And
that's awesome.
It's just one of those shows that was just such a flash in that moment. It took a cool looking helicopter, said screw physics, screw logic, screw science, and we're just making something bad and flashy with a lot of guns, and that's all that matters. And every episode was kind of the same, and we didn't care. We just ate it up between Airwolf and A-Team and any other, the Fall Guy. They were all the same, but they were cool guys, cool looking cars, helicopter, whatever. The 80s was the best.
It was a decade of cool guys and cool vehicles, right?
Yes. Nice. Yeah. Yeah. Whether it's a spaceship, a Trans Am, or a motorcycle, whatever it was always a cool guy riding something. And I grew up wanting to be that guy.
That's awesome. All right. My only reoccurring dream was the one about snakes. And I don't want to talk about it. That's what therapy's for.
Well, but it is time.
Always snakes. I think that's what did it. It is time for the Tale of the Tape. This week's Tale of the Tape, I got that right here, is brought to you by the American Chewing Gum Association. Gum! Come on, people, start chewing it again. Please. Oh, God, please. The Zoomers aren't into it anymore, and we're dying. It's so sad. Gum! Why did I take out a second more? It just goes on like that. It's very depressing. Anyway, here is the Tale of the Tape. Smaug is a massive fire drake found in the world of Lord of the Rings. He was created by J.R.R. Tolkien and first appeared in the novel The Hobbit back in 1937, while Airwolf is a military attack helicopter that did a variety of Cold War-themed missions. Airwolf ran for 4 seasons from 1984 to 1987 and was created by television legend Donald P. Belisario. Initially, the size advantage has got to go to Smaug, as he is hundreds of meters big, while attack helicopters of that era were more along the lines of 15 meters big. However, size does not equal firepower, as Smaug only had to contend with modern military. I don't think that line is written.
I think it was, he does not have to, he did not have to deal with modern military.
However, size does not equal firepower, as Smaug has not had to contend with modern military might that Airwolf is known for. This is a battle that could go any way at all and probably will, but before we get started, Kevin, it's time to introduce your opponent for the battle tonight. I am contractually obligated to say that not only is he the grand champion of who would win, is that a thing? Is that true? But also he looks dashing in a Hawaiian, is that true? It's Ray Stakanis! Ray,
what is going
back.
On, Samuel Proof? I do look good in my Mystery Science Theater 3000 Hawaiian shirt. And I am excited to finally get Kevin Israel on this show because I have it in for Kevin Israel. And I'll tell you what, some of us have kids and immediately let ourselves go. Others have kids and immediately turn into the Incredible Hulk. And I am going to say right now, I'm angry, I am jealous, and someday I will ask Kevin Israel how he got to be so prominent in the world of bodybuilding, and he'll just tell me it was hard work and diet and exercise, and I will tune out.
Yeah, I gotta say, my hoodie is doing double time tonight, so that's nice. It's good. All right, should we just get into it? I believe it is time for the rules in under a minute.
Here are your rules for Who Would Win Masters in 1 minute. Number 1, there will be 3 timed rounds with counterpoints allowed. Number 2, characters will have no prior knowledge of their opponent and no outside interference will be allowed. Number 3, keep the characters in character. Outliers and crossovers will be given less weight. Number 4, battles can be won by death, knockout, battlefield removal, or incapacitation. And number 5, after the battle, I will give my unofficial opinion as to who wins and why. However, I am just one voice. It will be up to all of you on our social media and our Patreon to make your voices heard as to who won. Who won?
All right, and with the rules out of the way, there will be 3 minutes on the clock. And Kevin, as our guest, you will be starting us off with the team of Airwolf. Get ready. 3 minutes on the clock, starting now.
Do you hear that, Ray? Do you hear it? Can you feel it? That was one of the greatest theme songs 80s action TV ever produced, and it heralds your swift and violent demise. For across a wasteland lies a massive mountain, a volcano. Within its depths of this earthen fortress rests a fearsome power, so terrible only few knew its name. No. I'm not talking about Sauron, but I am talking about Soaring. Of course, I speak of only the legendary Airwolf, defender of the skies, and terror to would-be evildoers everywhere. This aerial predator is unlike anything Middle-earth has ever witnessed, forged not by magic, but by the ruthless logic and technology of the Cold War. Faster than sound, invisible to radar, and armed with enough firepower to devastate a band of Uruk-hai, the roar of Airwolf's twin engines would make the Eye of Mordor weep and a mere dragon quiver like a hatchling. This supersonic gunship is a flying machine of war. Twin chain guns, heat-seeking missiles, stealth armor, and a pilot with the soul of a warrior poet. Airwolf is a threat nothing like the world of hobbits, dwarves, and orcs could ever handle. Stringfellow Hawk doesn't need a ring. He doesn't need an army. He's got Airwolf, the ultimate fusion of man, machine, and mayhem. And today we're not fighting over gold. No, no. We're in a battle for aerial dominance, and by the end of this sadly imbalanced battle, Smaug and Ray will learn that even dragons can burn. This isn't swords and sorcery. This is a war. The only fantasy here is that Ray and his giant salamander have any chance. Smog ruled the skies for centuries until one man and one machine from the 20th century turned
30 up. Seconds remaining.
Then Airwolf screams across the horizon and dragons stop being legends and they become targets. Armed with some of the highest tech weaponry the day had to offer and some of the most advanced defenses that we had ever put into a vehicle, Airwolf is, it's not even a match here. It's going to be an embarrassment because this ancient lumbering dragon who's so lost in his own ego and greed is never going to be able to handle the attack power of a supersonic helicopter like Airwolf. And not only is it the helicopter, but it's the man piloting the helicopter with his cool, accurate, and deadly ways. Stringfellow Hawk is going to pilot this into nothing more than a quick and easy victory. This shouldn't even be three rounds. This should be one round because from a distance, it's only going to take one shot and Smog is going to fall bloated and sadly from the skies. This one is going to go only to Airwolf. I'm sorry, Ray. I love you.
All right, Ray. It is time for your point number one, 3 minutes on the clock, starting now.
Boy, I felt like I was watching a documentary film like about like a deer in the wild being chased by a crocodile. But that's not what this battle is at all. I am a big fan of Airwolf. I am a big fan of crazy militarized 80s action shows, the A-teams of the world, the Airwolves. When I was a kid, I used to eat that stuff up. But today we are not here to celebrate. Well, we are here to celebrate Airwolf just a little bit. But what we are here to do is defeat Airwolf, because Airwolf is a machine, not a breathing, living creature, which means that under duress, a machine is just like armor and it will crumple under the fire of Smog. Smog is powerful in a world of very powerful creatures and wizards and all of the above. Smog is the strongest dragon in his entire world. And that is saying something about the world of Middle Earth. Even when he does, in fact, die in the story. And let's face it, both Airwolf and Smog have their defeats at one point or another in the timelines that they exist in. When he even goes down, he doesn't go down like a chump. He falls onto an entire town and thrashes around like me when McDonald's is out of chicken McNuggets. And he took out that entire town just like I did that one time McDonald's was out of chicken McNuggets. Don't call 911 like an amateur. Take out the town. That's what I'm saying. Look, Smog is just got too much power behind him. Just laughing, just having a good time was enough to knock over Bilbo Baggins. Oftentimes I laugh and people run away, but that's different. They don't mean to, or maybe they do. Anyway, he used a flick of his tail and he was able to destroy an entire house. He just accidentally wagged the dog and took out a house. He has fire breath. Now, I appreciate the modern military weapons, and I'm sure Kevin Israel is going to give us a lot of very specific examples of the firepower seen in Airwolf, because if he doesn't, he should lose this battle. Because I'm going to tell you right now, Smog has fire breath. It is brighter and hotter than any fireworks that are seen in Middle Earth or beyond. Just being near fire breath when it goes off, not being attacked by it, just being in the approximate vicinity of it is enough to almost kill Bilbo Baggins. Just being nearby. The backdraft ain't got nothing on Smog. And he wrecked the city of Lake Town, even though they knew he was coming. They said, fire-breathing dragon coming. We're going to water all the roofs of all the houses. We're going to make every single precaution possible. And even in a swampy mud hut, Smog was able to burn it down. Too much for them to handle.
All right, Kevin, it is time for your counterpoint. 60 seconds on the clock, starting now.
Ray, wow. That was an amazing argument, and it's effective. And I would have nothing to say if I was representing a bicycle with a propeller on top of it. Unfortunately, that's not what I'm here talking about. And yes, smog did devastate a village made of sticks and stones. And yes, he did knock over a halfling. Airwolf is neither. You're outclassed and out of your league once again, because this isn't a battle of middle age weaponry and defenses. This is high tech devastation, military armament. And by the way, I didn't want to bring it up this early, but since you brought it up, I will have to say, how did Smog go down? How did he die? By a weak spot on his belly that was a lucky hit by Bard with an arrow. An arrow. Airwolf has hellfire missiles, heat-seeking, computer-guided missiles that he can fire from up to 10 miles away.
Oh, cut off just before you hit the spot, but I think we'll be right back after this break.
Support for this podcast is brought to you by Walden University. Ever catch yourself thinking, what if I could go after what I actually want and really make a difference? You're not alone, and that's exactly why I want to tell you about Walden University. For over 50 years, Walden has helped working adults like you get the W with the knowledge and skills to build the future you want and make a difference where it matters most. If you've been waiting for the right moment, this is it. Head to waldenu.edu and take that first step. Walden University. Set a course for change. Certified to operate by Chev.
All right, welcome back. It is time to get into our point number two. 3 minutes on the clock for the team of Airwolf. Kevin, your time starts now.
All right, let's talk about 2 points. Speed and maneuverability. Well, actually 4 points. Speed and maneuverability and intelligence and defense. First of all, Airwolf is a supersonic helicopter. It can hit speeds up to 2 Mach 2. That's twice the speed of sound. That's not even... Smog can't even get close to that. And it is a hyper-maneuverable aircraft combatant. Smog wouldn't even be able to complete a turn before Airwolf did loop-de-loops around it. It couldn't keep up with its top speed, and it couldn't keep up with its maneuverability. In a dogfight, I don't care how big this thing is, Airwolf blows it out of the water, or the air, literally. And by the way, it's Smog size, because I'm sure Ray is going to think that girth means something here, but it does not, because it just makes it a bigger target. Airwolf is a speed demon that can reach a ceiling of up to 100,000 miles above the nearly out of the atmosphere. And what happens when you get that high, Ray? I'll tell you what, since I don't think you completed Earth science, the oxygen gets very low. And what needs oxygen? Well, a lizard needs oxygen to live. And what also needs oxygen? Fire, Ray. Your only defense against anything. Fire. No oxygen, no fire. All Airwolf has to do is climb a little higher, and you won't even be able to use your primary weapon. Speed and maneuverability alone, Smog doesn't stand a chance. But that's not all Airwolf has. Airwolf is a stealth fighter. It can't be picked up by radar, which means most of the senses of a dragon probably wouldn't be able to pick it up. It would be able to come in low and fast and unknown and hit quick and get out. Smog would be dead before Stringfellow Hawk even had the chance to crack a beer. And as far as intelligence and defense goes, Ray brought up the breath weapon, the fire. Airwolf was built for high temperature flight, explosions, and missile warfare. It was made to fight under fire. It can handle near nuclear detonation heat. I don't think a dragon's breath weapon gets up to a nuclear detonation. Maybe its breath weapon could do some damage to Airwolf, but Airwolf would never get that close to Smog to allow it. How would Smog possibly get close enough to Airwolf to use its main attack mechanism?
30 seconds remaining.
It would never happen. Between Airwolf's radar and computer array that picks up foes near it, its ability to lay out the battlefield and know where all of its enemies are, Smog doesn't stand a chance. It would be the biggest target on a small battlefield that Airwolf would take absolute advantage of. Speed, maneuverability, intelligence, and defense. It's not even fair.
All right, but what is fair is Ray also gets 3 minutes for his point number two, which is on the clock right now. And Ray, starting now.
So what I hear you saying, Kevin, and first off, you're doing a phenomenal job with Airwolf so far today. I might have come in a little bit overconfident, but I wanted you to feel overconfident after my point number one. And I feel that you've fallen into my trap now, because you're talking about Airwolf flying up 100,000, miles, meters? I don't know how math works. Up into the air? To me, that sounds like running away. To me, that sounds a lot like something we call battlefield removal. And if Airwolf wants to leave the field of battle and lose this fight to Smog because it's scared, I wouldn't blame them at all. Look, Ernest Borgnine has the heart of a champion, but even he would be cowed to heel by the sight of Smog bearing down on him. Now, the thing to mention with this is that Smog is so much bigger than Airwolf. Airwolf is, you think you said, 15 meters in size, or maybe that was the intro. Well, Smog in the movie is 427 meters long. He's so big, I don't believe that Airwolf could even do it. Do you remember that scene in Gulliver's Travels when the little munchkin dudes are like flinging up whatever they can at Gulliver? And he's like, wow, that has no effect on me whatsoever. That would be the equivalent of all these fancy weapons being shot at Smog, who's just too big and too well armored. He has armor plating of iron scales and hard gems on the outside of his body. Yes, there was one scale missing on his belly, but it took like an investigation and a whole conspiracy to drop him using that. And I agree with you. One arrow doesn't quite seem like it should have cut the mustard, Mr. Tolkien. Mr. I invented all this. Mr. D&D is based on my work. I think that's bad writing. I think he needed a way to get out. And I think that's how he found it. Bad job, because generally speaking, arrows and other projectiles just bounce off of him effortlessly. No blade has been seen to be able to pierce him. And we're talking about magical weapons here. We're not just talking about, you know, regular old slings and arrows, right? At one point, Smog got coated in molten gold. Coated in molten gold. And it just made him mad. And he got out and just was looking for something to kill. You know, you talk about your infrared, what have you. Well, Smog moves and flies silently and doesn't rely on radar. He relies on smell and seeing it. And I don't think Airwolf's going to get out of there. Just flying near something causes it to shake and creak. I could imagine just him flying by Airwolf would be enough to drop it out of the sky. And I would mention that Airwolf was once shot down in its own show in an episode titled Bite of the Jackal. It's ambushed and shot down just like Smog would do. And they had to replace the tail rotor and fix it on the fly. Let me tell you, if the tail rotor goes out from just regular weapons, Smog's fire will cause it to go out. And the second Airwolf has to land to make repairs, this battle will be over.
All right, Kevin, you have 1 minute for your counterpoint. 60 seconds on the clock, starting now.
I would not want to be Ray when he wakes up tonight and the ghost of Tolkien is standing over him to slap him upside the head for using his own writing as the reason that Ray couldn't hold up in this debate. That's really sad. Blame it on the writer, Ray. Come on. You're better than... No, you're not. You're not better than that, actually. You're right at that level. Ray, it's... I love you and I respect you in a way, but this is just sad. Yeah, it's one scale. Airwolf has targeting computers that could hit a mouse from 10 miles away. This isn't even, it's not even a challenge. And you keep saying his size, and if he got close to Airwolf, how would he get close to Airwolf? How would it ever get close enough to Airwolf to do any of this? It couldn't catch it. It wouldn't need to be that close. It would either be hit with its rockets or its anti-armor, anti-aircraft missiles. There's just no chance Smog would ever get that close to this. And again, you're talking about blades and arrows and magic. Who cares?
All right. It feels like this could go in either direction still, whether it is precise targeting or just an insane inferno and massive armor and all that stuff. We'll figure it out in our round number three right after this break. All right, welcome back. It is time for our third and final round. Kevin, point number three coming up here. You have 3 minutes on the clock to really nail this in. I don't like the way I phrased that, but that's what we're going with for lack of a better pun. All right, 3 minutes on the clock starting now.
Now, kind listener, you might be saying to yourself, but Kevin, you've only talked about defense and speed and maneuverability. Isn't Airwolf more than that? Is it just a fast, easy-moving, good-looking helicopter? Well, yeah, it is all of those things. But I saved the best for last, because I knew I didn't even need to get to my point three. I think if we stopped right now, I would win this one. But I'm going to put the nail in the coffin for Rey, or the arrow in the dragon's belly, as the case may be. Because let's get into Airwolf's offensive armaments. It has 4 50 caliber chain guns. It has 40 or 30 millimeter, there's some debate online about which they were, cannon pods that can shoot uranium depleted explosive armor piercing armament. That alone would throw smog out of the sky. Between the machine guns and the cannon pods, smog doesn't stand a chance, not a chance. But beyond that, it had a belly-mounted rocket pod that could shoot up to 20 different kinds of missile. Most importantly, heat-seeking radar-guided missiles used against jets and fortified structures. Airwolf took out an armored train, an armored base, and it battled other aircraft, including supersonic jets. Smog isn't even in that league of these type of military hardware. And Airwolf took them all out. All it needed was for Stringfellow Hawk to put down that visor, for the theme song to kick in, the machine guns to pop out. And that was it. And that's all it would be for Smog. Smog would just be another victim that falls prey to the final 5 minutes of Airwolf. Because if you ever watched Airwolf, you know everything got good in the last 5 minutes. And that's all this would be. This would be a 5 minute battle, and Airwolf would go back to its lair and hang out until its next mission. They also had sunburst missiles, which are defensive missiles that could be used to distract Smog if it happened to get close enough, which we know probably isn't going to happen. Sidewinder missiles, Hellfire missiles, so much military hardware, it just would overwhelm.
30 seconds remaining.
Absolutely overwhelm Smog, just beyond belief. Look, in the end, Bard needed one arrow, a bow and arrow, and got a lucky shot. Airwolf has 20 heat-seeking missiles and an automatic targeting system that's computer-designed and piloted by one of the most accurate pilots ever. This isn't story time, Ray. This is slaughter time. Airwolf has defeated jets. Airwolf has defeated military hardware across the board. And Smog is none of those. Smog is a mythical salamander.
All right, Ray, 3 minutes on the clock for your point number three, starting now.
Well, I give Kevin a lot of credit once again, as far as stretching the truth goes. The key is that Airwolf can get a speed of up to Mach 2 with its turbo thrusters. It has 2 of those, and there is a limited amount of thrusting these turbos can do, which means that if he gets in close, yes, it can shoot away, but that just resets the battle again. That's the whole deal, because typically speaking, Smog runs at subsonic speeds, right? Just below Mach 1. Generally speaking, the high point of Airwolf without those thrusters is just Mach 1, which means it's a little bit faster than him, but not to the level that Smog would never be able to catch up to it with tactics and maneuverability. Let's remember, Smog is swimming through the air, and Airwolf is sort of limited in where it could go. It is very maneuverable for an aircraft But at the end of the day, it still has something with the laws of physics it has to worry about. And fighting jets in the air, jets are not dragons. Jets do not have the maneuverability of dragons. Jets do not have what dragons do, okay? So here's the deal that you also forget. All these great missiles are heat-seeking. What does smog have in abundance? Fire. All smog has to do is breathe fire and then move, and then the missiles will be attracted to the fire in the air and explode away from him. Another advantage that smog has is that Airwolf only has so many bullets and so many missiles. If it uses all of them, it cannot shoot anymore. So all smog has to do is outlast, burn the missiles out of the air with the nuclear fire, and make the heat-seeking missiles not go after it. Get out of the way, because smog cannot run out of firepower. So if this fight lingers, which it will, because smog is very crafty and maneuverable, uses cover, knows, you know, how to use his fire, to just burn the missiles before they can even reach him, for gosh sakes, Airwolf will run out of ammunition. And as soon as that happens, they have to hit the ground to reload and restock. And as soon as they do that, smog will pick them off. Smog took out an entire dwarf fortress, an entire army. So we're even as far as taking out armies goes. He took out the areas of Lonely Mountain and Dale. And when Bilbo Baggins wore the ring, you know, the one that means nobody could find him, he goes invisible. Smog could still smell him and Smog could still hear him. So all of your fancy, you can't see us with your radar, doesn't matter. He will smell you from miles away. He's also smarter, Smog is, than anybody on that airship. And he's clever. I would argue that Dev is dumb and easily manipulated. And he has dragon talk. This is the big thing for me. He can manipulate the dwarves into mistrusting each other, but the crew of Airwolf has to work together. All he has to do is be real loud and tell them things and make them not believe in themselves and talk down to them. And they will start not acting like a team, mistrusting each other. And as soon as one cog in that crew's wheel goes away, the entire operation is blown.
Did you hear how Ray's voice was cracking there a little bit? If you've listened to enough of these episodes, you'll know that means Ray knows he's losing and he's desperate. And the sound of a desperate man just breaks my heart. But you know what whose also heart is going to get broken? Smog's, with a missile to his chest. Let's play this battle out. Let's just stop with this dancing around and play this battle out. Airwolf enters the scene, flies up to 20,000 feet, waiting for his opponent. Smog enters from a couple miles away, maybe. Airwolf's sensors pick it up, sees it on its computer map of the battlefield, which, by the way, Ray said earlier, he leaves the battlefield. Ray, they're flying. The whole air is the battlefield. There is no limit to the battlefield. Anyhow, clearly not a military expert is Ray Stakanis. Anywho, Airwolf picks up Smog, a giant bloated blimp of a lizard on its sensors, targets, shoots a missile, hits with deadly precision. Because yeah, what is a dragon? Fire. It's got fire in its belly. It's a giant heat signature, perfect for a heat-seeking missile, which Airwolf has plenty. And Ray said that it's going to run, that Airwolf's going to run out of ammunition. It doesn't need to run out of its thousands of bullets and dozens of missiles. All it needs is one good shot, much like Bard, but it's got a much better bow and arrow.
All right. And as Ray did not have counterpoints throughout the show, the final thought will be his. Ray, whenever you're ready.
Kevin, you're right to call me out because my voice is going. That's because I didn't bring any water or hydration with me for like the second battle in a row, or at least, you know, two very recent ones. And that means my voice is already going out on me because I get amped and I get excited. And without some Pepsi Max to keep me going, show the can, I would be in deep trouble in all these battles. It's my own fault for my own lack of preparation, but lack of preparation is not what I feel as far as my ability to come into this battle, because you presented exactly what I thought you would. You misrepresented the speed a little bit there. I think their speeds are for the most part even, except Airwolf gets a couple of bursts, like the Nas canisters that Dom Toretto has in Fast and Furious. He's not using those the entire race, because he also wouldn't be able to maneuver himself if he did it. Anyway, the point with all of this is that their speeds are roughly the same, but the sizes are so much more. You can't comprehend the difference between 15 meters and 400 something meters. It is just like trying to topple the Titanic, you know, with a sword. It's just not going to happen. You just don't have the strength and the power. Those missiles are great, but those missiles, you know, they're not going to take out entire battleships. And that's basically what smog is the size of an entire battleship. And also, I think the worm tongue point is very important. I kind of ran out of time there in a moment in point number three. But I think his ability to constantly talk and get into the minds of the Airwolf crew as he's able to swat their weapons and missiles out of the way and keep up with them and their maneuverability, I think planting that seed of doubt causes that crew to not work together. And one person misses a flip of a switch or pull of a lever, and suddenly the Airwolf ship doesn't do what they want it to do as a team. They're not together, and Smog will swoop in, quite honestly, physically could just knock it out of the air if he could just run into it. And from there, all of this is a cakewalk for a monster the size of Smog. No buzzer necessary, Sam. Go ahead.
I was waiting for the buzzer. Absolutely.
No, I don't usually do a buzzer on my final points. I leave it like Jerry Springer. Take care of yourself and each other.
Well, all right, gang, it is time for me to weigh the broken scales and rotors, and I will come back with my decision after this.
Sam has weighed all the points made. Two figures met in collision. Now let's find out who would win. It's time to hear Sam's decision.
You want to talk about epic 80s themes? I think that's got all the tells right there. Listen, guys, this was great. This episode, like, you know, it started off with a lot of his style posturing from Team Airwolf, I will say, but Kevin did bring the heat in points two and three, citing Airwolf's heat-seeking missiles and maneuverability and a whole lot of other stuff. Ray answered with that, with heat for seeking in a dragon's breath. Smog's immense size does, in fact, make this an incomprehensible battle. But also what's incomprehensible is the claim that Airwolf can't be picked up by radar to a dragon that can hear and smell an invisible hobbit. Look, both debaters missed some points that I would have liked to have heard more on. I'm not calling anyone a moron. First and foremost, with Airwolf, aka the lady, Kevin touched on Stringfellow Hawk here and there, but diving deeper into both Hawk and the rest of the team felt like missing a mark. Much like Ray not talking up the black arrow that actually shot down Smog, which was not a simple arrow, but possibly akin to the dwarven version of a missile. So the real question for me is, does Smog outlast a barrage of armor-piercing bullets and missiles before Airwolf has to land and reload? Or does Airwolf, with their armor-piercing bullets, pierce Smog's armor, or will they just get lucky and hit that spot? So for me, I have to say, luck be a lady tonight, I do believe that the armor-piercing bullets do the job whether or not they hit that missing scale. But this is not up to me. It is up to all of you, the listeners, to vote on. Go to our Patreon and make your voices heard and let me know if you're on Team Smog or Team Airwolf.
Kevin, real quick, Sam.
Yeah,
did I miss them? You say the words because you didn't say it. Therefore,
oh, I didn't.
Airwolf is the winner. If you don't say that, people are going to get confused. They're dumb.
Fair enough. Therefore, Airwolf is the winner. But again, folks, this is not up to me. It is up to you. Head over to our Patreon at patreon.com/whowouldwinshow and make your voices heard. Guys, this was insane and really hard. And yeah, I flipped back and forth several times on this decision. So, you know, Kevin, great job.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you have any final words there?
Listen, like I said, I love and respect Ray. But the only thing dragging here was his ability to beat me and Airwolf. So I wear this crown proudly, but not unexpectedly.
All right. Do you want to tell people where they can find you?
Yeah. Check me out at kevinisrael.com. You can find all my social handles there, or just search Kevin Israel on whatever social platform of choice. There's not too many of us, so you'll probably figure out which one I am. And if you want to check out my comedy, you can buy my comedy album, The Struggle Is Real, on iTunes and everywhere else you get your music.
All right. Thank you so much. All right, Ray, did not go your way today. At least
says you.
In my eyes, we'll see what the people say next week on the wrap-up episode. Would you like to rant and rave at this time?
I do have a few things to say. Like, I know I'm a big fan of the NFL, and there's like a sort of a thing as you're in division games. And I really was hoping to get the in division podcaster sweep of Delvin Cox, Kevin Goatee, and Kevin Israel. And I'm really disappointed to drop this game to an in-conference in division rival. I don't love that. But I do have to give it up to Kevin. When I walked into this matchup, I perhaps felt maybe a slight bit overconfident that Smog would have no problem at all with Airwolf. And some of the points that Kevin brought up, it's not that I didn't see them coming. I didn't think they would land with such heat-seeking precision as obviously they did to you, Sam Proof.
Sure.
And so I give Kevin a lot of credit here of walking straight into the lion's den and blocking a field goal and returning it to the 25. The point I'm trying to make here is I won this battle. I absolutely dominated from pillar to post. I agree completely that Kevin not speaking about the crew in any way, maybe that was a tactic because of the worm tongue and because of the fact that Smog could get in their heads and make them not work together, and maybe would have strengthened that argument had he put a lot of time into it. And you're right, I didn't mention the fact that we had like a magical arrow X, Y, and Z. You know, I didn't think it was as important as maybe it was. Maybe that's an oversight on my part. It doesn't matter. The people at home know that we are talking about a little dinghy versus the Titanic, and we all know nothing bad could happen to the Titanic. Anyway, you should go to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow and make your voices heard. Vote and comment, and next week we will be back with the wrap-up, and I will happily say, the people have rebuked Sam, even though they never
do. First time ever.
The people have rebuked Sam.
We'll see.
And they believe that Ray won this battle because, quite frankly, I did.
Okay. All right, gentlemen. Well, thank you.
This would be a great time, Sam, to mention our new Instagram channel.
I was going to do that after this next part, but
yes. As well. I'm not telling you how to do your job. I just want to make sure it gets done.
I was definitely going to do that after I told people where to go and vote yet again. But yes, please check us out on Instagram.com/whowouldwinmasters. And hopefully by now we have launched, it should be out there, YouTube.com/whowouldwinmasters. Thank you for listening, and absolutely go make your voices heard on our social media and our Patreon. You can keep the debate going with Who Would Win Show on Facebook and Threads, as well as on patreon.com/whowouldwinshow. Tune in next week as Ray and I go over your votes, your comments, your reviews. If you start leaving YouTube and Instagram comments, we're going to prioritize those things. Hells yeah. Aside from the 5-star reviews, we're going to read those first, always.
Always.
But if you think you've got what it takes to be a part of Who Would Win Masters, record a 1-minute video demo of yourself and send it to whowouldwinshow@gmail.com. And who knows, maybe you'll be in the challenger's chair next time. For Who Would Win Masters, this is Sam Proof. Stay strong.